Necessito del Señor. I need the Lord. That's a wonderful message for us this morning. Gracias, hermanos, guitarras de Sion. Thank you, gentlemen. They tell us that we all need to, that Spanish is going to be the language of heaven, so we might as well start learning now, right? We're so glad that you have joined us today for our worship service. I bring you greetings from Pastor Will and Peggy. We're trading Sabbaths. Last Sabbath, my wife and I were gone. We were worshiping at camp meeting at Walla Walla University Church for their annual camp meeting of the Upper Columbia Conference camp meeting. We're glad to be back today. Seems like too often recently when I take an airplane ride, I come back and somebody's germs have circulated and I pick them up. So pray that I can get through today's service. Pastor Will is a very humble person. Most of the nature slides that you see every Sabbath are the pictures which they take when they're on their summer vacation. I hope you noticed in your bulletin that we have another pastor coming soon. His transfer is already in today's bulletin. Pastor Jeff and Natalie will soon be with us, and we're looking forward to having them join us before long. Much of today's message comes with the permission of Pastor Dan Smith, who preached this sermon. At Loma Linda, at the La Sierra University Church a few years back. And it is with his permission that I share some of his thoughts are his. I would like to especially welcome this morning our internet audience. I don't know if you're aware of the fact that every Sabbath, more people access the sermons that are preached here than there are people here every Sabbath. I don't know where they are. But if you're listening from China during this coming week, or from the Middle East, or from some lonely island in the Pacific, we welcome you too to this message from Paradise Valley Seventh-day Adventist Church. Would you join me as we pray the words of Psalm 19, verse 14? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. A father said to his boys, "Do you guys want to go to the mall with me?" "No." "But what if we get a Mrs. Fields cookie there?" "Oh, let's go right now." You see, the promise of a cookie was enough to tilt the scales. Now they wanted to go. How then do you think you can help people want to go to heaven? If you were a recruiter for the armed services, what would you put in a brochure to get people to join the armed forces? I used to go down on Sabbath mornings down here to MCRD, that's the Marine Corps Recruit Depot near the airport, and hold services for those young men who wanted to come to Sabbath services. The recruiter had promised that they'll get to see the world. Maybe all they'll get to see is Greenland. The recruiter has promised that they'll get a free college education. But many of them are going to spend most of their time peeling potatoes or cleaning the bathrooms. Imagine a recruiter brochure made for heaven. What would you put in it? Too many people have been told that there'd be no TV, no fun, No nice clothes, no girlfriends, no boyfriends, no spouse, no family. You will have to wear a white robe for the rest of your life, sit on a cloud, and play a harp. Unfortunately, that's all many of our young people think about heaven. So no wonder that most young people today say, heaven can wait. Mark Twain satirizes this. You know, he said, what Christians do is that they take everything that we really enjoy down here and they say, no, you can't do that up there. And everything that we don't like to do too much down here, and they say, oh, that's what heaven's going to be like. How can we expect anyone to want to go? Lou Vinden told the story. The one week his family took off a Sabbath to go camping. Now, it was rare for them not to be at church on a Sabbath morning. But on this particular Sabbath, they went hiking in the woods. And while they were walking along, their father said, let's stop here. For Sabbath school and church, we're going to talk about what our mansion is going to be like up in heaven. Now, Maury Vinden was a young, rebellious kid at that time. And he asked, can I have my own mansion and live away from the rest of you? His father Lou said, yes, Maury, you can. So Maury began to tell about what his mansion would be like. And then his brother Lou would tell what his mansion would be like. And then Mom would tell what she dreamed heaven would be like in her mansion. Finally, Dad began to describe in his rich evangelistic voice just what he thought about heaven and what his mansion was going to be like. When he was all done, there was a moment of silence. And young Maury said, Dad, is it all right if I can come live with you after all? You see, my friends, this morning, much of our understanding about heaven is like that Vinden family story. It's just hopes and guesses and dreams. Here's our concern today. How can we figure out a way to describe heaven so that people will want to go now, today, and not next week, but now? If you were to make a flyer about heaven that would attract both young and old, what would you put in it? How would you describe heaven so that they'll want to go today and not just say, heaven can wait? Let's go to the source that will tell us something about the unfamiliar. Let's turn in our Bibles to John 14, 1 to 3. Let's all repeat together these very familiar verses in the language of the King James Version. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there. Heaven can't wait. Our next passage is in 1 Corinthians 15. You see, the Bible is crystal clear that heaven is going to be better than anything here. Let's look at verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. There may be some great and fun things on this earth without Christ. But my friends, I'm here to tell you today, if that is all we have, compared to what we could have with Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. Philippians chapter 1 makes it clear that heaven with Christ is better than anything on this earth. Paul is getting old. He's close to death. And he says in Philippians, the first chapter, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then again in verse 23, "I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far." My friends, the number one reason why heaven can't wait today is because heaven will be far better than anything on this earth. This is number one on your sheet if you're following along. Are we almost there yet? We read in Hebrews 11 about Abraham. Now, Abraham was very rich, probably richer in comparison than Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or Oprah Winfrey. Let's see what it says about Abraham. Verse 9 says, "By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." The last phrase of verse 13 says, "And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth." And verse 16, "Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Now, going down to the end of the chapter, look at verse 39. "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised." You see, my friends, as good as this world was, the promise to them was not yet provided. God had promised something better. There are people in front of me sitting down here, I will not call their names, who are living with constant pain with arthritis or back pain. Heaven can't wait. Are you going through a painful divorce? Heaven can't wait. Some of you are in a wheelchair today. Heaven can't wait. Some of you are without a job. You're going hungry. Heaven can't wait. Some may be driving cars that need repair, and you don't know if that car is going to break down next time you get out on Interstate 805. Heaven can't wait. Your bodies may be racked with cancer. You don't know how much time you have left. There are those with heart problems. You don't know when that ticker is going to stop or when you're going to have a stroke. There are women who have been violated by men. There are some children who have been abused by adults. And there may be men here this morning who have been abandoned or betrayed by a woman. Heaven can't wait. There are children who stay with dad this week and with mom the next week. Heaven can't wait. You may be living with a spouse who is not a Christian, or maybe with a grandpa or with a grandmother. Maybe you have a family member who threatens suicide. Heaven can't wait. There are young people facing decisions such as work, and you're asking the question, will there be a job for me when I get through school? Or you wonder who your life companion is going to be, or even if you want one. Heaven will be better than anything that we have here. The number two reason why heaven can't wait is because heaven will be individualized just for you and for me. There will be no boredom in heaven. Children learning in the school of heaven will never be heard to say, "I'm bored." There will be new excitement and new places to explore every day and new friends to make and new kinds of food for lunch. Some people are concerned that we might have to change somehow and give up what we enjoy now to enjoy what God is preparing for us in heaven. My friends, God will give you the kind of heaven that you will enjoy. He will individually shape that part of heaven which will be yours so that it will work for you. It will fit you. God will give us the continual opportunity to excel in every area of the intellect. Do you enjoy research in biology? Maybe you enjoy flowers. How about the unending study of astronomy? Mountain climbing. Maybe you're one of those who likes to do those Sudoku problems. Writing. The list is unending. What kind of heaven would it be for you if God gives you your desires to enjoy here and then He takes you to heaven and changes all those? Would that make any sense? Heaven will fit your desires. The psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of what? Your heart. In John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Not the way I'd like it only, for he says, I will prepare a place for you. I will shape it for you. My friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that heaven will not be a boring place. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Problem of Pain, your place in heaven will seem to be made for you and for you alone, because you were made for it. And so you can look at what you enjoy here on this earth, what you desire, and heaven will be like that. I've been told about these 5-star luxury hotels. I've never been in one, but like the Marriott Meridian Hotel over here in Coronado, where you can check in and somehow they will watch everything that you do, everything that you enjoy, everything that you request. All of this gets loaded into a computer. Doesn't matter where else you go in that hotel chain. It can be Moscow or Muskegon, Melbourne or Montreal or Manila. It may be a while before you check in again, but they will automatically have everything just the way you want it. Personalized, if you please. That's what heaven will be like. Only heaven goes far beyond Marriott's to personalize a place for you. God will make it just the way you want it, as long as it's holy and appropriate for Him. I don't know if there's anything we can't have in heaven. Maybe we can't have snow skiing in heaven, but I'll guarantee you that whatever we have in its place will be an upgrade from snow skiing. It's like I went into a car rental place this last week to get the very cheapest car that I could get, and they gave me a Ford Avero. Sometimes it's a Ford Fiesta. And God will upgrade me to the best BMW or Lexus or maybe even a Ferrari or a Bentley or a Rolls Royce. That's the kind of God that you and I serve. Heaven will be individualized for me and for you. I don't know. Maybe God will even create a special planet for vacationing snow skiers. Are we almost there yet? The number 3 reason why heaven can't wait is because heaven will be familiar. Heaven will be a continuation of the things which we enjoy here. Yes, there will be some change, but it will be real and physical and something we can touch and feel. People sometimes think we'll be outside of time when we get there. I don't agree with that. Isaiah chapter 65 and 66 give us an idea of some of the things that we will do in heaven. It tells us that we will meet from one Sabbath to another, just like we are meeting here this morning. From one new moon to another. We will be active, we will be doing, we will be investing in relationships. Heaven will be alive. The magic of heaven is not timelessness. The magic of heaven is having an unlimited amount of time. It will be incredible. It will be similar to, but far beyond, what we already know. There's a legend of a man who lived in a miserable old world village with a miserable wife and three miserable kids. The man kept praying, God, take me out of this miserable life to the magnificent city located somewhere beyond. One day the angel said, God's going to give you a signal that will lead you to the magnificent city. Prepare for it. So the man began by laying aside gifts for the new world. And when the signal came, he followed it. Laden with gifts, he walked out of his home, away from his family, bound for the magnificent city. At the end of the day, he thought, I must rest. And he laid down beside the trail, but he could not sleep. The horrifying thought came to him that he might forget which way to go when he got up in the morning. So he sat up and he carefully pointed his shoes toward the magnificent city. Then he was able to lay back down and sleep. During the night, though, an angel came and turned his shoes the other way. Upon awaking, the man walked in the direction that his shoes were pointed. Near the end of the long day, he began to see the golden glow of the magnificent city. But it was alive. The city was so much like his home village, but it was alive with its golden glow. He began to see people there who looked so much like the people that he knew. But it was wonderful, and the people there were so happy. God, could you be so incredible as to provide a wife like I used to have? Only cheerful and you. And three kids who looked like my own kids. The man began to praise God, saying, what a great God you are to make this wonderful, familiar life so much like my own, but all new. And so he gave his family all the gifts that he had brought with him. Heaven will be much of what we already know. And it can begin now in our homes. All we really need is heaven's attitude in our hearts. Aren't we told that our homes can be a little bit of heaven here on earth? Number four. The number four reason why heaven can't wait is because all the miserable things that make us unhappy will be gone. There will be no more pain or sorrow or tears or death. As a pastor and as a volunteer hospital chaplain, I'm frequently called to be with families as their loved ones are dying or have just died. I've been with some of you at the time of sadness in your life. It's easy to say there will be no more death in heaven. Maybe we all know that. But do you feel the power of all this? No more death? No more hospitals? Young people, you may not realize it now. You think you're going to stay strong. You may think you'll stay well. And that you will be immortal. And that you plan to live forever. But somehow it, death, will pass through your life. Through you or your family and friends. All of us can think of friends or loved ones that we have lost. And that tragedy is repeated over and over again all around the world. Every day, somewhere, someone is standing by a hole in the ground saying goodbye. This is not part of heaven. That's why heaven can't wait. Not only will heaven be a transformation of all that is bad on earth to good, of all that is wrong to right, and of all that is miserable to wonderful, but we can now on this earth learn about heaven from everything that is good and right down here. God has used and created what is pleasurable on this earth to whet our appetites for Him. So God uses beauty and life and food and friendship and love and sex and good music and all the good things to give us a taste of what heaven will be like. And so we can learn from the best things of this life what heaven will be like. No eye has seen and no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. But He has revealed them, even if only in a small way, by His Spirit. One thing I miss living here in California is being able to visit my family more often. Some of you travel long distances to the Philippines, to southern Mexico. Some of you came from Cuba or Laos or Iran or Iraq, and you have never been able to return to your homes or to your family. We are all homesick. Are we just about there yet? Number five, the fifth reason why heaven can't wait is because of fellowship with those we love most. We will be with those we love most. Heaven will be the most incredible place for fellowship. Picture in your minds the fruit-laden table which stretches for miles and miles. Your eyesight at that time will be perfect. And so you can look at the people seated at that table all the way to the end. Oh, there's Uncle John and Aunt Betsy. Over there's my friend from high school. 2 miles down that long table is the preacher who baptized my mother. And across the table is my little sister that we lost many years ago. Can you picture Jesus sitting at the end of that long table with His arms outstretched, blessing us all? Could we possibly be as happy as He is to have all of His people around Him? What will Sabbaths be like in heaven? Just think of the songs and the laughter and the worship services with our own Savior present. Will we be mumbling and half saying the words of our songs of praise to our Redeemer? No way. We will sing and shout and play our instruments and thrill from our heads to our very toes and be overcome with the wonder of it all as we humbly bow in adoration. Then we will go to our homes, which Jesus has gone to prepare. We will walk on those streets of gold, perhaps even as the song says, in our golden slippers. It's just like having my family and my friend living with me on the same street. That's how heaven will be. Has anyone longed here to travel to new lands and visit beautiful places about which you have read? How would you like to travel with your friends to that planet millions of miles away where there are sights previously unknown to men? And to that one planet especially made for snow skiing vacationers. I can hardly wait. Are we almost there? Let's look at Revelation 22. The last and the most important reason why heaven can't wait is that we will get to see Jesus, to be with Him. Revelation 22, verse 4. They shall see what? They shall see His face. My friends, the most important reason for going to heaven this morning is we shall see
his face. We shall see him as he is. The heart of heaven is to be with God, to see his face. It's not the mansions, just being with God. Won't that be enough? To see his face. His face stands for who he is. Adam and Eve got to see his face. Because of sin, God told Moses, "You cannot see my face and live." David in the Psalms pleaded to see God's face. And if as a child you had a loving mother, you longed to look in her face. Perhaps we don't see God now. Maybe our view of God has been distorted. Maybe it's been bent out of shape. The Bible says, seek his face. Don't turn your face away from him. The wicked will call for the rocks to fall on them when he comes, because they don't want to see his face. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says that when we get to heaven, we will not see through a glass darkly, but we will see him face to face. C.S. Lewis says that when we walk into heaven, we will see in his face the best of all the favorite people that we have known in our lives down here. And that is ultimately why heaven can't wait. Your desire for heaven is directly related to your picture of God. If you really don't want Jesus to come for a while and heaven can wait, then something is wrong with your picture of God. I would like to say it this way. No one will go to heaven who would rather be here. The only people who will go to heaven are those who would rather be there. There was a goose that landed in a farmyard of chickens. It was injured and it took a while to heal. So while it associated with the chickens, it puttered around with the chickens and forgot that it really could fly. It just hung out with these chickens and scratched in the dirt. But after a year, it really could have flown. A flock of geese flew over and began to make the honking sounds that only geese can make. This goose began to fluff up its feathers and began to get the idea of flying. It was hearing the call of its fellow geese. It actually sort of bounced up a little bit, flew into the air, but then it came back down and stayed with the chickens. My friends, we were made to fly. We were made for heaven, weren't we? Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that God has planted eternity in our hearts. But many cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. We don't want to stay with the chickens. Do you know where the chickens end up? Chickens end up at Church's Chicken. Or maybe Kentucky Fried Chicken. You see, my friends, we were made for heaven. And when the call comes, I want to go. Heaven can't wait. Are you ready? If God is placing in your heart the desire to be with him and to sit at that long table and to sing in his presence, if God is placing in your heart the desire to worship with him, your Savior and your Redeemer, if you want to say, heaven can't wait, if you want to join me in being ready for heaven, would you raise your hand with me just now? Would you join me in singing one stanza only of a hymn, Face to Face with Christ, My Savior? We will remain seated.